Aren't you glad you're being worked on by the builder? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Did you enjoy service here last night? Did Brother Lance bless your heart last night? Well, just give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. We just, I tell you what, I believe he sees what he's preaching. I believe it's been made real to you, Brother Lance, and we certainly appreciate you sharing that with us last night. And a lot of you looked at me like I was crazy when I said I'm a Jehovah's Witness. But I am a witness for Jehovah. That's what I'm a witness for, that Jehovah still lives. He still occupies the throne in the hearts of his people. Aren't you glad about it? Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. For my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. Amen. Something ought to make you happy this morning, if nothing else. Brother Junior Davis is here in the service with us today. Brother Junior, God bless your heart. Appreciate you being here, buddy. Amen. Well, the Lord's good to us, isn't he? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that if you will. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to just remain standing. We only got two or three prayer requests this morning. That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. I want to remember Brother Lynn Duggar in prayer. Having back problems, Sister Sylvia sends that in on his behalf. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Lynn that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Bob Taylor in Orlando, Florida, suffered a heart attack and suffering with internal bleeding. He's a father of a co-worker. Brother Jim Hughes sends that in. So we certainly want to pray for that prayer request today. All those that are traveling on the highways from our local assembly here and your family, loved ones, we will pray that God will grant them traveling mercy. It's dangerous to be on the highways. So let's pray that God will just be with those folks. While you're standing, let me just say this. I think yesterday might have been the final day of graduation, local high schools around here. I know we've got several graduates here in the church, and if you are a graduate, we certainly want to say congratulations to you. How many of you did graduate? Do we have any that did graduate this year here at the church? Here's one, two, probably some of them on the highways traveling with family. So let's give those that are here a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Now, he probably would be mad, or not mad, but he would get me back if he knew I was going to do this. But I want to mention someone this morning that's very dear to the young ladies and young men that go to the Happy Valley High School over here. I've been told by a lot of you how much you appreciate a certain individual for watching out for and being concerned about your children. And that man is in our assembly this morning. That's my brother-in-law, Brother Bernie Young. And Bernie, on behalf of all these kids and all these parents, we want to say thank you for taking all these church kids kind of under your wings and watching out for them. And we appreciate that. Give Bernie a nice hand this morning. Now, for all of you that are here this morning, we so appreciate you being here. Give yourself a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you'll come this morning, pray over these prayer requests. Let me make this announcement. There will be a baby shower for Sister Hannah Linichek and baby girl this evening at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. You're invited to be here for that if you can, so remember that. We appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? He means a lot to us.
Amen. Brother Louie, you want to know if I had something to say to the veterans? All I can say is we appreciate you. All those times that you're away from your family, many of you spent nights out in foxholes, bullets going over your head, missiles flying away from your loved ones. It was a sacrifice. Amen. Some of them didn't come back. Amen. But I'm so thankful that God did take care of those that are here today and did bring you back. Thank God for this assembly. Amen. Now, I have a prayer request this morning. A few years ago, I had a knee replaced. Then about 3 months ago, I had a shoulder replaced. Now, Brother Lee, they tell me I'm going to have another knee replaced. So just remember me in your prayers. I know that God's a healer. And, you know, even though we sometimes have to go under the hands of a doctor, it's still God that does the healing. Still God that brings us through. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to be in your service today, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for that day, Lord, that you went to that cross, that you bled and died for our sins, and Lord, that you paid that supreme sacrifice that we might have life, and God, that we might have healing for our body and the things that we have need of. Heavenly Father, we appreciate this service today. Thank you, God, for the blood that was preached about last night. For God, we know that the life is in the blood. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll move for our needs and our requests this morning. God, we pray for Brother Lynn Duggar. God, we know what that back problem is. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch them and heal them. And God, Brother Taylor, down in Florida, God, I pray that you'll move for him. And God, for those that got needs here this morning, no matter how great or small, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move for them. And those, God, that's over the internet, I pray that you'll move for them also. And God, we pray now that you'll take this service. God, that you'll bless every part of it. And God, may your Holy Ghost have complete control. God, be with our pastor, Brother Don, wherever he is today. I pray that you bless him. Bring our people back safely that's on the highway. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here in the service. All those that are streaming this service today, we pray it'll be a great blessing to them as well. Just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Aren't you glad you are a believer today? Does it mean a lot to you to be able to say you are a believer? I want to tell you something. It's the greatest privilege in the whole world today to be able to say that I am a believer in this end time message that God has sent to the earth. You could be a millionaire, you could have all the things in the world that you'd ever want, but if you're not a believer, it's all going to pass away. But what you're believing is going to get you out of here. Are you glad about it this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, and we just begun. Our battles are over, and the victory. just begin to sing love's sweet story. It's a song the holy angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed? You're singing. Think about it. That don't mean as much to us right now as it's going to after a while. But we're fixing to have a time reigning with the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We have probably more songs than we'll have time for this morning. But we'll take them in the order that we received them. Sister Sarah, if you'll come on and get ready to sing. Brother John, if you want to go on to the guitar, get ready to sing for us. And Brother Harvey, you and Sister Shirley, I'll save you to a rainy day, okay? No, we'll maybe Tuesday night you could come up and sing. I love it. Every time I ask him to sing, he said, we'll come Tuesday and sing. So don't come Tuesday, won't be nobody here. But maybe Wednesday, the Lord. Love those folks, don't we? Love to hear them sing. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless Sister Sarah. Give her a nice hand as she sings today.
The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel that you have reached the end. He'll make a way for you. When the enemy surrounds you and the walls, they're closing in, and the tide is swiftly rising, and you wonder where he's been. Friend, there never was a moment that his arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel that you have reached the end, he'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel
pray for me. In times of trouble and inward struggle, when it seems the end of the road, seeking his direction, I'm longing for perfection. I only need to feel his hand holding mine. Dear Jesus, I'm in your pavilion. There I find the strength I need to carry on. In the secret of your presence, beholding your beauty, O Lord. God's word I'm reading, how my life he's leading, onward to that beautiful shore. I'll greet the saints at heaven's door with a love I've never felt before. What joy is waiting there for me? But until then, I'm safe in your pavilion. There I find the strength I need to carry on. In the secret of your presence, beholding your beauty, O Lord. In the secret of your presence, beholding your beauty, O Lord.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. It's time to go on into the service. Brother Terry Horn is going to come and bring you the word of the Lord this morning. How many of you going to pray for our brother? Amen. We just pray that God will anoint him. We'll just pull on the gift of the Lord that's in our brother's life. We'll have a good time here today, won't we? How many of you come to have church?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus this morning before Brother Terry comes to bring us the word of the Lord. Jesus is a way maker. Do you believe that with all your heart?
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, now Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and gray, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. I know my Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. One more time. Oh, I know Jesus is a way.
Is a way maker. He made a way for you. He made a way for me. That's what it was all about. He, God, was making a way. Aren't you glad we get to go to church today? We get to go to church one more time. I certainly enjoyed Wednesday night. I certainly enjoyed last night. My, if I could preach like them brothers, Lord have mercy. Lance, that was outstanding. Brother West, that was outstanding. I can remember Brother West was talking about it. He was so nervous, but you know, first time preaching before a big crowd. I remember the first time Brother Donnie called me to preach about 9 years ago, and I was still living in Roanoke, and he said, called me up on the phone, said, "Terry, I want you to preach Sunday." I said, you know, I went like that. I said, "Well, okay, but I'll have a heart attack." He got to laughing. He got to laughing, and finally he calmed down. He said, "Brother Terry, I just wanted you to preach. I didn't want to have a funeral." But you know, it's like Brother Donnie said, you know, every time you come out, you're nervous. He said, if I ever get to the point that I come out and I'm not nervous, then it's time for me to quit. Because this is serious what we're doing. You know, God will make me answer for what I say, you know, behind this sacred desk. So we certainly appreciate it. While you're turning to the book of John, chapter 6, I just really enjoyed the things that was said last night.
Amen.
You know, Brother Ben said that the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, he said that was a capstone revelation. That Jesus Christ was totally, completely man, and he was totally, completely God. I have that revelation. Wonderful. It's wonderful. I want to talk to you this morning about some principles in the Bible that would actually help our life to, that we could walk more circumspectly, if you would say it that way. You know, we are, as he said in the Church Age book, we are the final voice to the final age, and therefore we know that people won't read their Bible too much, but they'll read your life, and they'll read my life. And so our life testifies to what we really are. What's on the outside is actually what's on the inside. And what we do and how we live, where we go, all we do, we say, talk, conversation, everything, it all testifies what's really on the inside. So if we're going to be that final voice, we want to walk circumspectly to those that watch us. Amen. John chapter 6, start with verse 47. Thank you, Brother. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Why can't everybody see that? Christ is the bread of life. Because actually he's hidden manna. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if a man eat thereof and not die, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give you is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, I am so thankful, Lord, for this word of God. I'm thankful that it was put in print a few hundred years ago that we might have it. Only the Catholic Church had it and the priest could read it, but now we all have it where we can read it. We not only have the Bible, we have the prophet's message. We have the perfect interpretation of the word by divine vindication, as he said. We're so thankful that you sent us a messenger. You sent it to me. You sent it to these people. We're happy to receive it. We're happy to be part of it. We believe it. We accept it. Lord, we're trying to live it. Help us to live it a little bit better. Take these things, Lord, that you've laid on my heart to speak. May there be a blessing to the people, an encouragement to the people, and perhaps even a challenge to the people that we might be real stewards of Christ. Lord, we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. Talk to you about breaking the bread of life. You say, well, we just got a few preachers here this morning, so I might as well go home. Maybe you might just ought to stay here just a little bit longer.
Amen.
Breaking the bread of life is not just for the preachers, we'll find out as we go on into it. Now, one of the mysteries of God, he hides himself from whom he will. We understand he hides himself in simplicity. He hid himself behind badger skins. He hides himself in the prophets. He's actually hid himself behind Jesus' skin, as we was talking about last night. He has veiled himself behind that man, Jesus Christ. He's also veiled in the word. Christ was veiled in the seals. We say the seals, that was the four horse riders. The fifth seal was the souls under the altar. The sixth seal, the tribulation. The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. Yeah, but it's all Christ.
Amen.
Christ was veiled in those seals.
Yeah.
And so we want to kind of look at this hidden manna a little bit before we get a little farther into the message this morning. Now, in the message called Unveiling of God, Brother Bam says it this way. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. My subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time if you take these tapes and listen, I hope that you trust that you have a spiritual understanding of what God is trying to get over to the church without saying it right out.
Amen.
See, it's a thing. Sometimes we have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. Thin down? It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over, but it's done purposely. It must be done that way.
Amen.
You mean God would do a thing such as that? Then he might say something, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did. He does yet. He tells us in paragraph 31, as we were just reading here next, he said, and why? He tells us why. And Jesus said that to weed down his crowd. Why would he need to do that? Why would he need to weed down his crowd? You get any kind of a gathering together, first of all, you got three kinds of believers. You got some that come in for curiosity, some that come to be spectators, some that come to these, but you got to weed them down to get the real believers. Amen. Keep in mind, we're talking about third pull. Remember the vision of the baby shoe, the island, and so forth? He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. He said, now this third pull, it won't be a public show. It won't be no public show. Remember the little room and the tent vision and so forth? Just keep that in mind. Now, he said, and Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, see, till he could get the group together. You got to weed them down so you can get just the believers together. Amen. Those that really believe the word, can follow the word, accept the word. Amen. And then he said, and out of all those people, they only had the only 11 of them that really understood actually who he was. One from the 500 down to the 70, 70 down to the 12, one of those was the devil. They know that he was God and God alone. Now, my subject this morning is reveal or unveil that God. God is always and never age, has hid behind a veil all ages. But he's been God all the time. But see, he's kept himself hid from the world. He still does that today. He's still hid from and reveals himself to his elected. Praise God. His elected. Like the apostles of that day. Now, that was God speaking in Christ. Now, he kept himself hid from the world. Why? Why would he hide himself from the world? Because he wants you to see him by faith.
Amen.
He wants you to see. You don't have to prove God. You believe God. God proves himself by vindicating his word. We know the message is right. We don't have to prove the message. We don't have to verify it, vindicate it. It's already been vindicated and verified. God's already proved his word and does it by bringing it to pass. Bible says many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. You might as well settle it in your mind this morning, brothers and sisters. God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. If you stand for the truth, you're going to stand alone. If you stand for holiness, you're going to be called a legalist. If you live for Christ, you're going to die to the world. If you're going to make the rapture of the promised land, you're going to be in the minority like Joshua and Caleb. You might as well just get it settled in your mind. We are not of the majority. We are of the minority. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Brother, I'm telling you this morning, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind made up. I've drove down the stake. I know where I'm at. I know who I'm going to serve. I know who I'm trusting. I know where I'm going. I was not designed to go to hell. My lot and my focus and my purpose and my destiny is heaven and glory in Christ as my maker, my redeemer, my lover. Brother, it's like I think about that 440 relay. How that, you know, they run a 440 relay lap, you know, in high school they used to run that. They'd change the baton with four runners, and the last runner, he would come down that last strip, he's got that baton, and he, you know, the last runner, he's got to give it everything that he's got because it's really dependent on him. But he comes down that last stretch and he sees the river there just right before him. He's just a few yards, maybe 50 yards from that, breaking that river. Why would he want to quit? Why would he want to stop? So I just believe I'll just stop. That's insanity.
Amen.
Brother, we can see the ribbon right now. We can see it right before us.
Amen.
Brother, don't stop. The ribbon's right there. The checkered flag is fixing to fall. I see it right before us. Ain't no time to quit now. Glory. God's working on his bride. He's getting us ready. We know this right before us. And it won't be too much longer. Listen to what he said. And God identified it as characteristics. He said, now, look at the 70. He said to the 70 sitting there, his ministers he had ordained to go out and preach before him. He said, I'll give them a little shake to see where they're at.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Now, one of the principles of God is to give you a little shake. He did the 70. He did the 12. He did all. So one of those characteristics he's going to give you, he says, now give them a little shake, see where we at. So he said, well, what would you say when you see the Son of Man ascend into heaven from whence he come? They said, this is a hard saying. And they walked away from him.
Right. Yeah.
So that gets down to the 12. You say, well, that was just for the 70 ministers. I'm good to go. Well, what about the Syrophoenician woman? He called her a dog. That didn't shake her a bit. Why? Because there was something anchored in there. If you got something anchored in your soul, it's not going to shake you. Listen, Christians are rugged. They're steadfast. They're solid. They're not hotbed plants. Again, in Job, Jehovah Jireh, now he had 70 ordained preachers with him. He thought he had a little too much crowd. Weeding down, thinning out, weeding down. Listen, if you can understand and grasp what Brother Donnie's been trying to bring us, talking about the wheat and the tares and the separation and the bundling of the wheat, what hour that we're living in, you can see more now why Jesus had to thin down his crowd. He had to thin down his crowd. The message has to thin down the crowd. It's not the big multitudes. This is not the big time for masses to come in. No, this is a maturity time. This is separating time. This is a shock pulling away from the wheat time. This is the maturity of the grain time. You'll understand that. You'll understand where we are today. Now let's read that part again. And Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, see, till he could get the group together. Brother, if you could just grasp that one little bit. Get the group together. Get the group together. Brother, the prophet of God said it always takes pressure to drive the ransom church of God together. Amen. What do you think happened here just a few months ago? Drive the ransom church of God together. Stick together. Love one another. Fight together. What do you think? What do they teach you in the army when you're in the military? The first thing they do is they want to break your will. The second thing they want to teach you is how to work as a team. Because your brother, your fellow soldier is going to defend you, and you're going to have to defend him. It's a teamwork. And this is a brotherhood. Peter walked with Jesus, but never really knew him by the flesh. Jesus said, flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. That's what's wrong with the deity people and the return ministry people around this message. They got too much of a what they call a revelation of Brother Branham's flesh, but they fail to see the Christ that was in Brother Branham. They see the miracles and the signs and the wonders, and that's beautiful and that's wonderful. That's all good and dandy. That's fine, but what was the first and second pull for the third pull? They only knew Brother Man by the flesh and not the Christ that was in him. So again, God veils himself in flesh. Amen. The wheat and the tares is harvest time. Let them grow together until harvest time. The tares will bundle first at harvest time. It had to be a Korah move at the going home time. The hostility of the tares all at harvest time. All what we're seeing going on right now. But also there's a maturity in the wheat at harvest time. There's an adoption of the church at harvest time. There's a bride coming in preview the second time at harvest time. So there's a lot going on at harvest time right now. This is a wonderful time to be living. A great time to be living. An exciting time to be living. 2 Timothy says it's a dangerous time to be living. But greater is he that's with us than he that's in the world. Amen. The only way you can come to adoption and maturity is you've got to feed. You look at a cow and a horse and the animals out there, the cows eat all day long. Lord, you're talking about being big as a cow. They feed and they eat and they feed and they eat. And horses, they feed. I saw some horses over there where we live. They put the big round bales out there. I don't know what was about the center of the bale. He ate the center out of that bale. He had his head stuck plumb into the bale. Trying to get that good hay out of the middle. But at least he had a revelation of feeding. You've got to feed. We've got to eat this bread from heaven. Feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I'm going to tell you right quick, if you're going to make the rapture, you're going to have to love bread. If you're going to make the rapture, you're going to have to love bread. Might not be Sister Schubert's bread, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to love that bread from heaven. It's got to be that kind of bread. Boy, I love bread. Sometimes it shows, but I love bread. Jesus is the bread that come down from heaven. Now let's look at a couple of ways Jesus broke bread. Now remember, Jesus is that living bread. Now remember in the old camp meeting days when we used to have dinner on the ground? Old camp meeting days we'd have dinner on the ground, just six or seven of them. Lord have mercy, we've got some old people around here. I remember the old camp meeting days, we used to have dinner on the ground years and years ago. Well, that's not a new concept. Oh, I think one of the Jesus' first luncheons was dinner on the ground. Well, sure, he fed 5,000. That was dinner on the ground, wasn't it? 5,000 with five loaves and two little fishes. Another dinner on the ground. He fed 4,000. And 4,000 with seven loaves and a few little fishes. And I just got to thinking about that. That's 9,000 people that Jesus fed with 12 loaves of bread. 9,000 people with 12 loaves of bread. Brother, I want to tell you what. Jesus knows how to break bread. He knows how to break bread. If he wants to teach us how to break bread, he certainly is the author, because he knows how to break bread. Not counting all the dozens of baskets was left over. Now, the story of Cleopas and his friend going on the way to Emmaus. When he made himself known that evening, let's read that, Luke 24. In Luke 24, 28, and they drew nigh to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Why? Why did he make though as he wanted to go further? He wanted them to ask him in. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat down at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Amen. Now, Jesus is the bread of life. And because he blessed it and brake it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, I'm not a real smart fella, but I've always wondered, when Jesus broke bread and their eyes were open, how did he do it so they knew he was that risen Messiah? Did he break it from right to this way? Or this way? Or this way? How did he do it? I mean, maybe it's the engineering coming in my mind when I think about, how did Jesus break bread? And because the way he broke bread, their eyes were open. Oh, that's him. Well, I mean, I never really pay attention to how people break bread. But there's an answer. I think we can begin to understand a little bit. Now, one and no longer. Listen to what Brother Bram said with three or four quotes that would help us to understand. Sure. Yeah. Brother Bram says in this leading of the Spirit, he said, and you may come, let's look at these three or four quotes. Brother Ben's praying. And you may come with great power just now, and may we be able to say when the service is over tonight, like those who came from Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us? You did something kind of strange, different from the regular ministers done. You took bread, and the way you blessed it, and the... What? Miracle that you performed, them disciples knew it couldn't be a man. It was you. And they went back rejoicing and say, oh, our hearts burn within us. Won't you once more tonight a miracle? Not Jesus. A miracle? He did a miracle? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Praying again, our Heavenly Father, this shadow of darkness hanging over the woman, death. But thou art life and light. And as your servant, I offer this petition in her behalf. And in the name of the Son of God, who is present now, that you will heal her. Yet, Lord, she cannot see you, but seeing the same works that you did. He's laying a little foundation here, trying to tell this woman something. That how they knowed you at Emmaus, you did something that no one else could do but you. Amen. And they recognized it to be you. Here's another one. Can we see Jesus? Notice the title of this quote. Can we see Jesus? Can we see Jesus? And when they were leaving the building tonight, many people were on the road home, say like those coming from Emmaus. Jesus had been dead. Yes, he rose again. He talked with them all the day and they didn't know him. But that night, I love this. That night when he got them alone and shut the door. Amen. Shut the door. There's your key right there. Shut the door. I want you to keep in mind the third pull, the 10 vision. This third pull won't be a public show. What's happening right now? Shut the door. Amen. When he got them alone and shut the door, the third pull, he did something like no other man can do. He done a miracle before them just like he did before his crucifixion. They knew he was the same Jesus. And they lightheartedly and lightfootedly ran back to the disciples, said, truly the Lord Jesus is raised from the dead. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? It wasn't this way or what it was this way or this way. What it was, he multiplied the loaves and the food. He multiplied the bread. Just like he did when he fed the 5,000. Just like he did when he fed the 4,000. He's God. He knows how to break bread. One more quote here. This is good. Listen. But he shut the door. Did you hear what I said? He shut the door. The third pull. Get them alone. He had to get them alone. You have to separate the wheat from the tares. Brother, sister, if you're seeing daylight, he had to separate the wheat from the tares. He had to get them alone. Many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. Think about these things. Here's another one. The resurrection of Jesus. This one's good. And they said, it's him. He truly has risen from the dead. Oh my. They'd been all day walking on the road, and they was just a few minutes getting back to Jerusalem. Oh, they said, yes, he's alive. We've seen him. We know that he is alive. Amen. He said, how do you know? He'd done the same thing that he did when he was alive. We know it's him. Only he can do it. That's all. No one else can do it but him. And when we see the way he did it. Here it is, and we see the way he did it. And that's the way he did it when. You remember when he was down there eating that time, and the way he took bread and how, and what happened when he broke those loaves that day and fed the 1,000? What did he do? He multiplied it. He said, yes. Oh, that's the same thing he did then. I know the way he did it. He did something I know it was him. He knows how to break bread. He knows how to multiply bread. He knows how to bring out of the bread what we need to make it live and to expand and to explode and to come to life. I remember Brother David Farmer was preaching one time, and he's talking about the exposition of the seven church ages. He called it the explosion of the seven church ages. I said, Brother, that was about the truth, wasn't it? You know, people get so sidetracked because of all the miracles that Brother Ram did. But what was the purpose of that first and second pull? It was to catch the attention of the rainbow trout. It was to catch their attention. The first and second pull was only there to catch the attention of the third pull. The opening of the word. The believing of the word. The receiving of the word. The manifesting of the word. The word becoming flesh again. Deity behind the veil. Deity personified behind flesh. The word walking in shoe leather one more time. That's what God is trying to show us one more time. God back in his church. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. Not part. All. If you can only just recognize, as they said last night, you can just recognize who you are tonight. Then you have power over the devil, power over the enemy. Recognizing. It's all about that. Listen, brother. Why did Brother Ramsey, in Christ the mystery, he finished up his message. He looked back at the clock back there. He said, it's 2:00. He said, it's the end of the second pull. Now the third pull is at hand. The opening of the word, 63, 64, 65, the revealing of the seals, all these things. What is it? The opening of the word, the second pull, it's history now. Now it's the time for Christ to come on the scene. No wonder he could stand there with that first pull and say, I'm not going to call you church, I'm going to call you bride. Wasn't a little man there just making some words. That was God declaring through that prophet saying, there's a different bride on this earth tonight. I am going to pronounce and I'm going to declare, you are now bride. God gave him that authority to, when in the church ages, the moons was all darkened out, he said, you draw a little light there for the bride. Brother, that's authority. Amen. Christ, back in the church, you have become the matching piece to the masterpiece. He is the masterpiece. You're the matching piece to that. Let's read in Matthew chapter 16. See if we can transition this a little bit in this spiritual food. Matthew 16, read with me. The Pharisees also and the Sadducees came tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. The greatest sign that they could show, he was standing right before them.
Amen.
Just like Pilate said, you know, what is truth? Pilate was talking the truth. He shouldn't have said, what is truth? He should have said, who is truth? He was talking the truth. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. He's saying you're good meteorologists, but you're poor disciples. They didn't even have to go to meteorology school. They could discern the sky, but they had no understanding of who Christ was. Wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There should be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now when his disciples were come to the other side, there's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Now, he didn't say they didn't have any faith. They just said little faith. He said, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand and remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And then they understood. Then understood they how he bade them not beware the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The doctrine. But he was comparing the doctrine of the Pharisees with the leaven that is bread. That's in bread. He's illustrating a spiritual principle here. Now, if we really understood what that meant, the leaven of the Pharisees, you see, leaven, of course, is the yeast that you put in the bread to make bread rise. I'm not no cook, but I know at least that, to make it rise. And well, what is a parable? What's this application? Leaven works like this. It's an unseen thing. It's a secret thing. It's a silent thing. It invades until the whole mass is brought under its whole influence. It's a secret, silent invader until it invades the whole mass of the lump of dough.
Amen.
That's when you put a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump.
Right.
All it takes is just a little bit of leaven.
Right.
And remember, leaven to the Jews was evil. Jesus best described the Pharisees as hypocrites. Their corrupt nature was hidden. And their corrupt nature was unseen. And their corrupt nature was silent. And their corrupt nature was evasive. Their influence was like a cancer. It was a corrupt nature. Like a cancer would silently evade ones until the life was completely consumed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Amen.
They said, well, you know, what's he talking about? Maybe is he saying this because we forgot to bring bread? Jesus is trying to teach them to be spiritual.
Right.
Be spiritual. Brother, if there's ever been a time that we need to recognize where we need to be, is to be spiritual. Be spiritual. Man. Jesus is trying to get his disciples to learn to be a spiritual group. It's like a parable. It's a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Beware of the silent, evasive, corrupt, hidden nature of the Pharisees. It's like Judas among the 12. They come down to the Last Supper. Jesus said, one of you that dips a sup with me will betray me. And every one of them said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Judas was so evasive, even the other 11 did not know the real nature of Judas. They didn't know it.
Amen.
He had Brother Brown said he had a Holy Ghost ministry. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said he had a Holy Ghost. He said he cast out devils, raised the dead, done everything the other 11 did. That's what Judas did.
Amen.
Walked right among them. But he couldn't go to Pentecost because he wasn't ordained to life. In fact, he was ordained to death because he was born the son of perdition. But you've got to beware of the nature, the leaven of the Pharisees at the Last Supper. Look, You know, we're at the Last Supper now. This is the Last Supper time. We're at the evening time right before the wedding supper. Beware of the Judases around the message. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those around this message. You think, well, this is, yeah, we got a perfect message, but everybody's not perfect that's around the message. We got to realize, you know, where you got the greatest amount of truth, you got the greatest amount of error. It always follows hand in hand. You don't have all that nonsense out there in the world. You're going to have the devil's going to try every evasive thing he can right around the truth, side by side, the wheat and the tares growing side by side right until the end, trying to do everything they can to destroy and pull down and deceit and compromise. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's hidden. It's corrupt. It's evasive. It's like a cancer. To me, all these people that want to blame the prophet and say he lied and all this bunch of nonsense, to me, it's a cheap way to backslide. A cheap way to backslide. Well, we'll just blame the prophet. We'll blame this and we'll blame that. When you can't prove this and you can't prove that, you don't have to prove God. You can't prove God. You're not going to prove God. God says, believe it by faith. Believe that God is a warrior. He is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. God is God. He don't have to prove nothing. So instead of just these people, just you don't want to believe the signers and all these ones that's turning back and so forth like that. Instead of just saying, well, I just want to go back to the world. I'm finished with it. I'm tired of fighting. Oh, we just blame it on the prophet. That's an easy way to get out of it. Remember now, leaven to the Jews was a symbol of evil. And leaven around the message is evil also. It's infecting many ways just like a virus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written. You ever think about that much when the prophets, you know, Jesus and different ones talk about it? He said, it is written. It is written. Well, where is it written? And when it was written, what was it written for? And why was it written? It was a purpose for it. It was already written where it was written. Now, this was Jesus' temptation after being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's read where it was written, the Israelites' temptation after leaving Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is why it was written. I want you to catch this. Don't miss this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. The word Deuteronomy means two laws. Deuteronomy 8, 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Just like Abraham, when he said, take Isaac up there and offer him. God knew what Abraham would do. But he wanted to test him and try him and take him up there and see just how far he would go to prove what was in his heart. To prove to the devil what was in his heart. Amen. Even if he killed his promised son, he said, I know God can raise him up.
Amen.
Read it again. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee in the 40 years in the wilderness. Why did he? Well, that's a whole other sermon. Why 40 years? Because the 12 spies had gone over. 10 come back with two came back with the grapes. 10 come back with the gripes. 12 preachers couldn't agree on anything. They stayed 40 days in the wilderness, and because of their unbelief and because their doubt and distrust, 40 days spying out the land, God said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll punish you. You'll stay in the wilderness 40 years. One day for a year. 40 days, 40 years. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or no. And he humbled thee, verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. That's where it's written. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Why was it written there in the temptation of the children of Israel when they left Egypt? Why? Was to humble them, to prove them, and to know what was in their heart.
Amen.
And he's going to do the same thing to the pride. He's going to humble us, and he's going to prove us, and he's going to know what's in our heart.
Amen.
Must I be carried home on a flowery bed of ease when others have fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? I must fight if I must win. Increase my courage, Lord.
Amen.
We ain't going to get out of here on a flowery bed of ease, brother, sister. But we are going to get out of here. You just sell it right now. We're going to get out of here. What was the purpose of the wilderness journey? Think of it. What was the purpose? To humble them and to suffer them to hunger. So God could feed them with the heavenly manna.
Amen.
Took them out into the wilderness to prove them and to humble them and to make them starve so that God could feed them and supply their need and give them their daily manna, their fresh,
amen,
natural manna. That's the real principle. The real principle, God wants to feed us with spiritual manna. Man shall not live by Sister Shoebreck's bread, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God.
Amen.
Every word feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. That's why we gotta love this word. Eat this word. Stay in the word. Come to church. Listen to the ministry. Listen to the tapes.
Amen.
Pray. Pray through.
Amen.
Eat the book.
Right.
Oh. They've had this Bible for several hundred years. It's been in print. But aren't you glad it's become a new book? By becoming a new book, we understand what's really in the pages of this book. And what's on the page of this book is now becoming and walking in shoe leather. It's been God's desire all along to bring out of the pages of this book. Remember, it's not the letter that quickened, but it's the spirit that quickened. The spirit quickened the letter killeth. The spirit is what gives life. The letter does not quicken. The spirit is what quickens.
Amen.
Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. Spiritual food in due season. The ever-present water from the rock. Why does God suffer us with afflictions and problems and sicknesses and illness and disappointments? To humble us and to prove us and to know what's within our hearts also.
Amen.
Think it not strange when fiery trials come our way. It's all for the proving and the molding of character.
Amen.
One thing you're going to learn in this life, you're going to learn some character. The one thing we're going to take with us and the only thing we're going to take with is character.
Amen.
You'll never take your money. You'll never take your house. You'll never take anything. You probably won't even take the clothes on your back. You surely won't take that either. But you will take character.
Amen.
And the character you have over there, you're going to get it right here. You don't get on. We don't get on the other side and all of a sudden, you know, there's a devil down here and we're saints over there. You get your character here.
Amen.
And if you don't get it here, you don't get there.
Amen.
I like one way one commentator talking about this hidden manna, manna in the wilderness. Listen to what this one commentator put it. God humbled the Israelites by leaving them to suffer hunger from the want of food and then supplying them with food in a miraculous manner. They was thus taught that their life depended wholly on God and could by their own creative power without any of the ordinary means provide for the sustaining of their life and fed thee with manna. It was something entirely new to the Israelites. Thing which neither they knew nor their fathers. Truly bread from heaven. And which got from them the name manna or man. M-A-N-N-A. Manna actually comes from the word man in the original Hebrew. Because in their wandering ignorance, they knew not what to call it. They said, these little wafers, what is that? What is that? Stuff? Man, what is that?
Right.
Man, what is that? That's what it's got his name, manna.
Right.
Manna, man. And they knew not what it was called, so they said one to another, man who? What is it? And thenceforth it was called it man, that they might make thee know. Manna, what is this stuff? We never had this before, but God was showing them, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you with some natural manna. Now let's look at this little hidden manna just a little bit closer. Now, in these quotes here out of the Pergamene church age, if there's anybody here present out there anywhere that don't believe in a fivefold ministry, listen to this real close. I think this will maybe help you to be persuaded. Watch this now. Now, with this thought in mind, this is a little lengthy, but down at the end of this is really some good manna. I will give them the hidden manna. We all know that the manna was angels' food. It was that what God sent down on the grass for the Israel at the time of their wanderings. It was perfect food. It was amazing how those little pellets of food kept them in perfect health. No one got sick. It was all they needed. It was all they needed. It was all they needed.
Amen.
When the ark was made, they put some of the manna in it, and the ark was put behind the veil, and only the high priest would dare touch, approach unto it, and then he had to have the sacrificial blood, the bread from heaven, symbolized by manna. One day came down from heaven and became life for all those who would believe on him. I am the bread which come down from heaven. He said, I am the bread. I am the living bread that come down from heaven. If any man shall eat this bread, he shall live forever. When he went away, he left us his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. Remember, manna was to sustain life. The manna in the wilderness was to sustain life. Our manna is to sustain life.
Amen.
The message is to sustain life.
Amen.
His word was bread. Watch this quote. I love this. His word was bread. It was the perfect manna, which if a man live by, he shall never die.
Amen.
But right after the death of the fathers, now you just apply this today. Right after the death of the fathers, no one seemed to know just the exact truth. In a short while, this manna seemed to have become hidden to the people. I wonder if that just don't fit exactly in the last 50 years since the prophet's been gone. Don't that fit just exactly since the prophet's been gone? Seems to become hidden to the people. But in every age, God began to give back by revelation that which was hidden until in this last day, according to Revelation 10:7, a prophet will come and reveal all the mysteries, and then the Lord will come.
Yeah.
Now in each age, I say, listen to this. Oh, brother, I just about have a spell. Every time I read this, I just love it. Now in each age, I say, the messengers received hidden truth, but they did not receive it for themselves, but it is as it was, when the disciples were asked to serve the multitudes, loaves and fishes, Jesus gave them the broken food, but they in turn gave it to the people. Jesus represented the prophet, the disciples represented the preachers, Jesus, the prophet gave it to the people and to the preachers, and they gave it to the people. But it is as it was when the disciples were asked to serve the multitudes, loaves and fishes. Jesus gave them the broken food, but they in turn gave it to the people.
Amen.
Sound like a perfect application to me, don't it? To you?
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe in fivefold ministry, I don't know. I think y'all just take that quote right there and put it in your pipe and smoke it a little while. That's the truth. I mean, that's Ephesians 4. That's the Word of God. I mean, that's not nothing new, the fivefold ministry. That's not a new doctrine. That's been here for 2,000 years. Sent into heaven, gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's been here for 2,000 years. What's new about that? Glory. Listen, Jesus, the time being the prophet, he was the God prophet, the Son of Man, disciples being the preachers. Jesus served it to the disciples served it to the people. Notice this principle in the Bible in harvest time. The word bread always means to be fed on. And man shall not live by bread, and man shall not live by bread like this bread alone, but every word. So that's the word bread. Keep that in mind. This is the bread that the church through every age has fed on.
Amen.
Has been the hidden manna just for the overcomer. The hidden manna just for the overcomer. The world don't see it. The world can't see it. The religions can't see it. But it's the hidden manna just for the overcomer. To he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh will I give a white stone, a new name, and on and on and on. You know what I love about that? The prophet God said each one of those church ages, they were given a reward. He said all through seven church ages. He said the good thing about it is all seven of those rewards, they're cumulative. We're down at the end. We get the benefit of all seven. But there's a flip side to that coin too. The Bible also said to him, much is given, much is required. That's why I'm saying, brother, sister, this is the bread that come down from heaven. If we're going to walk circumspectly, if we're going to be a light to this world, if we're going to be the living gospel, if we're going to be Christ walking in shoe leather again, if we're going to be the final voice to the final age, we better know what we're saying. We better live the life according to what has been spoken. Glory. The word bread always means to be fed on. No wonder Jesus, I am, said, I am the bread of life. You know, it's kind of a paradox in America today, you know, because of the abundance of food and idle time and everything. We really have a problem with gluttony, or, you know, around America. You know, natural gluttony, but, you know, because there's such an abundance and idle time and everything. But the Bible said there would be a famine in the land. What a paradox. Not for bread alone, but for hearing of the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and that by the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, what's interesting to me, if you go back and look up the original Greek, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That word hearing actually means the report. Faith cometh by the report, and the report by the word of God. Now you think about that. Well, how does that apply? Faith coming by the report. It's just like the 12 spies. When the 12 spies went over there to spy out the land, they brought back a report.
Amen.
And faith comes by the report.
Amen.
Now what would happen if the 12 spies, all 12 of them, had come back with a positive report? They say, okay, we're at Kadesh. Let's go take the land. But two of them came back with a good report. 10 of them came back with an evil report. The Israelites cried all night long. They came the next morning to Moses and all the congregation. Said, we'll make a captain to take us back to Egypt. And they actually made a captain. They didn't go back to Egypt. They actually appointed a captain to take them back to Egypt. You know why? Because of the influence of the 10 spies. Brought back an evil report. Faith cometh by hearing of a good report. Doubt cometh by hearing of the evil report.
Amen.
That's why he says faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by the report. What is the report? What is the gospel? It's not only word only, but it's power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's not just words and letters. Well, anybody can read that. But it's power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's what's in a man that lives and makes manifest the word for this hour. Faith cometh by hearing the report, not the doubt. The good report. That's why I said, the Bible says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Depends on which report you feed on. But listen, there's plenty of bad bread to feed on. There's plenty of bad bread. Listen to what the Bible talks about. All kinds of bad bread. Bread of affliction, the bread of tears, the bread of sorrows, the bread of wickedness, the bread of deceit, the bread of adversity, the bread of an evil eye. That sounds like rye bread to me. I hate rye bread. I can't stand rye bread. I'd almost rather starve and eat rye bread. Not really, but I would. But I hate rye bread. But give me some good old-fashioned yeast rolls and just smooth that with about half a pound of butter, you know, just hot right out of the oven. You know, I don't care if it's Sister Linichek, Sister Schubert, it don't matter who it is. I mean, I just love bread. But I love Jesus. He's my bread, too. He sustains my life. He makes me spiritually fat. What's this? Believe us out of this. Now, why is feeding on the unfailing body word so important? Right here. Why is feeding so important to feed? Come to church. Read. Listen. Pray. How beautiful is... Did they get that one up? Believest thou this? Let's read it. Believest thou this? Oh, you got to see this one. Here it is. It's coming. I see it. I see it on my screen. Okay. How beautiful that is the Holy Spirit, our sustaining strength to carry the church on. If they fail to eat manna, they die. Did you hear what I said? If they fail to eat manna, they die. If they fail to eat manna, they die naturally. And if we fail to eat on the Holy Ghost, we die. If we fail to pray through daily, all the time, keep under the blood, you'll wither up and you'll die in your Christian experience. That's why we must feed on the Word of God. Feed on the unfailing body Word of the Son of Man. Come to church. You say, Brother Horton, you harp all the time about coming to church. Brother, I'm going to tell you one day when they close these church doors, you'll wish to God that I could get back in church. You wish to God that I could be back in church. When they cut the cell phones off and cut all the communication off, you don't know who's alive and who's dead, who's living and who's here and who's in jail and who's in Alaska and who's where. You wish to God, I wish we could get back in them services and have fellowship like we did. Amen. Then you wish you would savor those days when we have just like we have right now. One day it won't be this way. But too many have quit eating. They got spiritual anorexia. Listen, Christ is all about life, not death, life. No grave, life. It's all about life. Life is worth living. God is love and God is life. Listen, there's 66 books of the Bible, and every one of them describe the God of life. I went and kind of pulled up, just look, you know, when it says of life, of life, of life. I pulled up, oh, brother, when you're talking about what is of life, it's all about God. Listen, I'm going to read a few of them. To Adam, he's a breath of life. In Eden, he was a tree of life. To Abraham, the time of life. For protection, the bundle of life. For Job, the surety of life. For David, the path of life. Also, the fountain of life. To Solomon, he fixes the issues of life. In Proverbs, he's the way of life. Also, the well of life. Also, the reproof of life. To Solomon, the wellspring of life. To Ezekiel, walk in the statutes of life. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of life. The book of Acts, he's a way of life. Peter said he was a prince of life. Paul said he was a manner of life. Paul also said he was a justification of life. In baptism, he gives a newness of life. And I say he's the Lord of my life. Glory! Hallelujah! He's all. He's everything to me. He's all about life. There's no death. It's all life. God don't even, he don't go to funerals. He just raises the dead. It's all about life. It's all about living. It's all about resurrection. It's all about living eternal. He's like that Baptist minister put that, that's my king. I wish I could describe him for you. Oh, brother. He's so wonderful. Well, you might say, listen, let's kind of transition down here as we kind of go down, slow down a little bit. You say, well, I'm a sister. I don't have to worry about breaking the bread of life. I can't preach. That's true. But just wait just a minute. Boy, I didn't get many amens on that one. Listen to what Brother Ben says in life. I'll show you another principle. This message is called life. And I want to speak on the subject for about 20 minutes of life. Life is what controls us. We are known by the life that we live. And it's been said that your life speaks so loud that I can't hear your testimony. So therefore, to live a sermon would be much better than to preach one. To live a sermon would be much better than to preach one. To live a sermon will be much better than to preach one. The life you live shows what character you are, because your life always builds your character. And Jesus said, by their fruit you should know them. So no matter what we would say or how we would testify, if our life doesn't coincide with that testimony, we are doing the kingdom of God an indebtedness by giving that testimony, because people know what we are. He said, I'd rather you live me a sermon than preach me this one. You go down to Walmart and sit out in front of Walmart for 20 minutes, you'll see 50 sermons coming out and out of that building. 50 different sermons in 20 minutes. All the different people, the lifestyles, the character, the lack of character, the nature, the worldliness, possession of evil spirits, you name it. This is Laodicea, Satan's Eden, Satan's kingdom, Satan's paradise. Don't think that this is any paradise of God. This is not. This is Satan's paradise, his zenith. This is his fulfilling. This is Isaiah 14 fulfilled. I will exalt myself. Brother Brown said he's exactly done that to the letter. Amen. Satan is a god of this evil age. Right. And we're stuck right here in the middle of it for a short more time. Just for a little bit more time. Listen, so what's on the outside absolutely reflects what's on the inside. Amen. What's on the outside reflects what's on the inside. Worldly women, they wear their sexy clothes and their high heel shoes and their paint and powder and makeup and rouges and pins and ear bobs and you name it. What's on the outside reflects what's on the inside. Amen. Brother Man said, when a woman paints up her faces, it says two or three things. He said, well, one thing, she's at war with God. He said, paint is a heathen trait of war.
Amen.
She's at war with God when she paints up her face. Another thing he said about paint, he said, a woman paints her face, she's empty inside.
Amen.
I could say some other things, but I think you get, that's worldlyism. The bride is different. She's separated. She's a holy vessel. Separated, holiness unto God. Listen, sisters, you should never be ashamed of your holiness dress or your long hair. In fact, you should wear your long hair with pride. I said, wear it with pride. Say, pride, pride. You're going to wear it with pride. Indictment. You believe in indictment? What he preached in the indictment? Indictment. When you see that go down the street and some of you ladies with long hair say, oh, she's old fashioned, isn't she? Remember, that's scoffers. That's the crown that you're wearing. God said it was your glory. Wear it with pride. Hallelujah. Wear it with pride the second time. As you would wear a crown of thorns for your Lord, wear it with pride the third time. Don't be ashamed. He said so. No matter what these Jezebels say today, what these imposters standing pulpit, crucifiers of Christ, no matter what they say, you wear it with pride. God said so, you keep it. Wear it with pride. That's one kind of pride that you could have. God gave you that long hair.
Amen.
Wear it with pride.
Amen.
He told the story about the cross. Wasn't really planning on saying it, but he told a story about the Springfield, Missouri, which is Assemblies of God headquarters. And he went in there and he had Billy Paul to eat lunch one day, and there was a woman in there and said, oh, she's had long, beautiful long hair, and talked to the woman, said, oh, are you across the street? Are you from across the street from that Assemblies of God school? She said, no, I just work in this little restaurant. And there was an older lady there. She had pretty long hair too. And Brother Ben said, oh, that must be your mother. She said, no, she just works here too. So they begin to talk and so forth, and it's all those little old Rickettes coming there with short bob hair coming from the school, going there to eat and everything. And they had these two older women and said, well, you know, Brother Ben said, well, he said, I just wondered with your pretty long hair. He said, the woman says, well, my husband likes long hair. I wear it for him. He said, God bless him. So after Brother Ben finished eating and went outside, Brother Ben said, God placed that woman right there as a rebuke to a bunch of bastard born illegitimate children in that school across there. Put them there. Why? God put that woman there. She wasn't even a believer, but a testimony against them bunch of Rickettas. That woman right there, she didn't know, but she was breaking the bread of life. Because she was a testimony in the day of judgment. Why, the queen of the south will rise and it'll be the same thing. Glory!
Amen.
Wear it with pride. You say, well, that's, what is that? That's breaking of the bread of life. You sisters also, you know, your written epistles known and read of all men. I don't care. Listen, hey, I don't care how you wear it. If you wear it up, you wear it down, you wear it sideways, don't make no difference to me how you wear it, as long as you wear it long. Personally, I just like it down, but I don't care how you wear it. You know, if you wear it on your forehead, you wear it on your ears, it don't make no difference to me. But I can say this one thing. When Brother Man was translated on the other side, he saw that millions of women came and said they all had long hair down to their waist. So you enjoy wearing it up while you're here. I don't think you wear it up when you get over there. That's just what he said. I don't know. Isn't that what he said? He said they all had long hair down to their waist. I'm just teasing you. It don't matter how you wear your hair. As long as you wear it long. Listen now. In St. John 4, what about, listen, you say talk about breaking the bread of life. Listen to this. What about St. John? What about the woman at the well? What about the woman at the well? I'm talking about how not just preachers breaking the bread of life. I'm talking about every one of us breaking the bread of life. All of us are responsible for breaking the bread of life. The little woman at the well there, she taught, you know the story, said, give me a drink. Jesus said, give me a drink. And he said, if you knew the gift of God, you know who it was. And then he says, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. You've had five. She said, sir, I perceive you to be a prophet and so forth. And she recognized that that was a prophet. And she left her water pot and ran back to the city of Sychar. And the Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified and told me all things that I ever did. Amen. Now you take that. She didn't preach to him. She just testified. Look, this Messiah, he told me everything I did. Isn't this the very Messiah? Listen, the life you live, the places you go, the things that you wear, the things that you do, everybody is watching your life. Not only this, the sisters, the brothers. They watch your life, where you go, what you do on Sunday, what you do during the week, where you go, your whole life is written. We're all supposed to be written epistles known and read of all men. Don't bring a disgrace on this message. What is it? What was the woman of the well? Breaking the bread of life. God can even use animals to break the bread of life. Remember we talked about Bert Carl up there in the Adirondack Mountains, and said Bert Carl said he was called him Lizard Eyes, the most cruelest man I ever seen. Said he'd just shoot fawns just to see him die. Said I tried to talk to him about it, said he wouldn't pay no sense to it. But one day he was up there and he made him a little whistle. A little whistle would be like a little fawn bleeding, you know, in distress. And so they was out hunting one day and he blowed the little whistle and a big mother deer walked out in the open there, you know, looking for a baby. Thought her baby was in distress. Old Bert takes his big old rifle, 270, whatever, head he levels down on that old mother deer. Just going to blow that lovely little heart of that deer right out of her. Brother Bram said, I just can't stand to see it. I just can't stand. He's the most cruelest man I ever seen. I've talked to him about the Lord. He wants to blow that deer mother's heart out. And he put that rifle down on that deer there. And I waited. And I didn't hear him any explosion of bullet. And I waited. And I looked up and I seen the rifle going like this. And he finally threw the gun down and said, Brother Brown, he said, lead me to that Jesus that you talked about. What was it? What was that mama deer? That mama deer, she was a real mother. Brother Brown said, Bert Carl saw something that was real. He saw something that was real. And God is in nature. And God is the author of nature. Saw something that was real. Breaking the bread of life. There's all kinds of ways to break the bread of life. Aren't you glad about that? She saw something real. Listen, I was just thinking in closing, think about all the different stages that we go through just to make bread. The harvest, you harvest the wheat and grind the flour and the ingredients and making the dough and baking it and kneading the dough and all like that. God's kind of done the same thing. And I thought about, you know, God and breaking the bread of life, and this is kind of rhymes, but I got to thinking about it, but it makes sense. So God started out making the bread of life. And since the restoration of the word and since Calvary, he's been baking the bread of life. He told us to lay in the presence of the Son, ripen. And for seven church ages, he's been breaking the bread of life. And finally, pretty soon, brothers and sisters, he's going to be taking the bread of life. Taking the bread of life. Where he's going to take this bread? Jim, where's he going to take this bread to? He's going to take this bread to the wedding supper. I found this quote. There's another one. I can't find it. I asked Brother Don, where did Brother Ben say that? And I couldn't find it. But I found one where it says about the same thing. Listen to this one. The man running for the presence of the Lord. Listen to what he said. I believe we have the truth. I'm satisfied of that. How many can say amen to that? And I believe that the wheat is absolutely, the shuck is pulling away from it, you know. And see, I may give a little prelude on that tomorrow night, see, how the shuck is pulling away from the wheat. But the wheat has to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. And that's what we're in. And that's what we're here for, friend. Listen to this. I just love this. Stay in the presence of the Son till our little group of people here, till it becomes so ripe to Christ, it becomes bread on His table. We become bread for His table. I don't know where Brother Bram said it, but he said it someplace. He said somewhere to something to the effect. He said the last day grain is not for planting, but the last day grain is going to be used to to make bread for his table. Every age they replanted the grain. Every age they replanted the grain. But in this last age, they're not replanting the grain. This last is going to be baked for the golden bread to put on the master's table in a rapture to go to the wedding supper. Breaking the bread of life. Glory to hallelujah. While the musicians are coming, I'll just speak on one thing else in closing. You know, when I think about what Michelangelo and the great sculptor, how he sculpted out Moses, you go back and listen to it, the masterpiece. And really, you know, he talks about how that, you know, he worked all these years on that and how that he got down to the end. He struck it with a hammer and said, speak, you know, and that actually made the flaw in it and made the dimple on his right knee, about 6 inches above his knee, you know, and he was bruised, and Christ had to be bruised and all that. But, you know, got to thinking there's a little bit more to it than that. I thought, because of the application of where we are today, down at the end of the harvest time. I got to thinking about that Michelangelo, and he said how he took that great big marble, big slab of marble, and he looked at that and he saw an image of Moses. Somebody might come up to Michelangelo, it's been said, Michelangelo, what do you see in there? He said, the critic said, I don't see nothing. Michelangelo said, I see an image that needs to be released. I see an image in that marble slab that needs to be released. Brother, I see an image in that marble slab that is released. And he worked on that, and he chipped and he chiseled, and down to the seven church ages, he chipped and he chiseled and he worked, and he got it down to the pretty close to the end. And then he began to say, well, you know, it's looking pretty good. Then he takes the sandpaper, the rough sandpaper, and grinds it on down a little bit, sand, and he gets his sanding disc, and he takes his fine sandpaper and gets on down, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, on down to the end. God done sent the message. He sent the prophet. We're down to the end of the time. The wheat and the tares are beginning to separate, and the shucks pulling away, and tares are being bundled. And I thought to myself, Lord, what is it? There's got to be something right here. He worked on that statue, and he worked on that statue, and he said, it's getting more like it should be. It's getting more to the time of completion. It's getting more like the image that I've desired, and God has desired all from the last 6,000 years. He said, I've desired to have a bride. I've desired to have a people in my image. Amen. He made Adam in his image, and he failed, and he wanted restoration of a bride tree that he would live and walk and do and be in his image. So he worked on that, and he worked on that, and he got it right down to the point. He was so satisfied that image was just perfect, just right before the rapture. And he took that little old hammer and he looked at that image. He's so lifelike, surely he should have to talk. And he took that old hammer and he just smoked that thing on the knee, and he said, speak. I thought to myself, God, how much more time is it going to be? Just a little bit more time. God, when you're going to smite that right knee of the little bride there and say, speak, little bride. Speak, little bride. I've given you the third pull. I've given you the word. I've given you what to say. I've given you what to walk by. When the time is right, speak and go forward. It'll be so much like the image of Christ. All you have to do is just speak. The spoken word is the original seed. Everything's back to the original. Amen? Yes. Breaking the bread of life. Yes. How many wants to live a life worthy of the gospel? Yes. Let's stand. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm so glad I'm not in charge. He's in charge. Yes. He ordained it. He orchestrated it. He made it possible, and it's going to come to pass. The devil ain't pulled nothing over on God. It's going just exactly like it's ordained to be. Wheat chairs, they got to grow together, pull away, got to be separated. Remember, as we said on the way to Emmaus, he had to get them there and close the door. Remember the little room? He said, I'll meet you in that little room. You think about that. I'll meet you in that little room. They went through the tent vision, they was all sick, naturally speaking, sick. Wheelchairs, crutches, whatever. Recording angel. There's a woman on the outside recording. They come out of the little room. It's all well. They ask him, what happened there? I don't know. Next one come out well. What happened there? I don't know. Next one come out all well, completely made well. They ask him, what happened there? I don't know. He's got to be shut in with God. It's in a secret place. It's not a public show. It'll be you and God. Did you hear what I said? It'll be you and God. It won't be you and the pastor and God. It won't be you and your husband and wife and God. It'll be you and God. That's why you must have the token. We must have the token. The only thing, every kingdom will be smashed in these last days unless you have the token. That's the only thing that's going to stand. God bless you. Lord Jesus, thank you for for the good word of God, Lord. I'm thankful that you give us these parables, these illustrations, Lord, these quotes, the message of the hour. Send us a messenger of the hour. God, how we thank you. We love him. We love the word. It's truth, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It's so wonderful, Lord. God, take these little words, I pray. Sink them deep into the hearts of people that we might walk more circumspectly, that we might walk and live a life worthy of the gospel. Lord, that we can be an influence to the people outside. They can see our life. We're supposed to be ambassadors, representatives of the kingdom of God. Lord, we don't never want to be an indebtedment to the message or to the gospel, but our life, Lord, they see us. They watch us. And we want to live a life worthy. Help us, Lord, to walk a little closer. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got it all in control. Let's sing that. He's got it all in control. I believe he's got it, every bit of it, in control.
He's got it all in control.
so glad he's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that great assurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. We'll put our life in his hands.
This morning, brother. God, did you enjoy the word of the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's come back Wednesday night just looking for something else to be on the platter, but it'll be good. I promise you that. Have you enjoyed church today? God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. Victory in Jesus. May you have a victorious week. Oh, yes, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever He sought me and
bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me the victory beneath.